much indeed. Hello, I'm Alexander Armstrong, and welcome to Pointless, the show where the aim of the game is to find the most obscure answer possible. Let's meet today's players. And couple number one.
My name's Rebecca, and this is my cousin Jonathan, and we grew up near Guildford.
Couple number two.
Hi, I'm Andy. This is my wife, Sue, and we're from Wyndham in Norfolk.
Couple number three.
Hi, I'm Graham, and this is Steph, and we are ex-colleagues from Hartlepool.
And finally, couple number four.
I'm Owen, this is Mike, and we're friends from Manchester.
And these are today's contestants. Thanks very much, all of you. We'll find out more about each of you throughout the show as it goes along, so that just leaves one more person for me to introduce. If the electrical storm going on in this guy's head ever got out, it would cause a blackout which would last 1,009 years. It's my pointless friend, it's Richard.
Hiya.
Hey, everybody.
Hiya. Good afternoon to you.
And to you.
What a show we had last time, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
We had Ian and Steph in the final, walked away with over $5,000. Mm. Very nice to do. We got two of the teams back from that show, Owen and Michael, who were very... And they called Owen and Michael because if they stood in the other order, they'd be Michael Owen. And you can tell they're really trying not to be called Michael Owen, can't you? But they were really unlucky in the first round. Actually, went out on one of those answers that they were... It was just a tricky one for them.
Yeah.
So we might see a lot more of them today. And another Steph and Graham back as well, who got knocked out in round two. But a cracking show last time, cracking show this time. Shall we do it?
Let's do it. Thank you very much indeed, Richard. Now, as usual, all of our questions on today's Pointless have been asked to 100 people before the show. Our contestants here are on the hunt for one of those all-important Pointless answers, that being an answer that none of our 100 people gave. Each time that happens, we will add £250 to the jackpot. As you'll have gathered, Ian and Steph won the jackpot last time, so today's jackpot starts off back at £1,000. There it is. OK, if everyone's ready, let's play Pointless. All you have to remember is that the pair with the highest score at the end of each round will be eliminated. So your job is to make sure that is not you. Our first category today is tennis. Tennis. Can you all decide in your pairs who's going to go first, who's going to go second? And whoever's going first, please step up to the podium. OK, let's find out what the question is. Here it comes. We gave 100 people 100 seconds to name as many losing Grand Slam singles finalists since 2000 as they could. Losing Grand Slam finalists since 2000.
Yes, I'm looking for any male or female tennis player who's lost in the final of a Grand Slam tournament all the way through from 2000 through to February 2014, please. Very best of luck.
Fantastic. Now, John, welcome to Pointless. Good to have you here. What do you do, John?
I'm a marketing manager.
Who do you manage marketing for?
It's a commercial fitness equipment company. So we supply treadmills, cross trainers to gyms and hotels and places like that.
Excellent. Is that a lot of travel?
Unfortunately, I just do the UK, so I get to go to Birmingham.
Hey!
Yeah.
That's fun.
So that's good.
Everyone needs fitness. You're giving out fitness. Do you demonstrate how they all work?
Supposedly, yeah. We've got a gym at work, so we're kind of encouraged to work out.
OK.
So.
And when you're not doing that, what do you get up to?
My other half works in a gym, so I'm there quite a lot. And I play five-side football, and I'm a big fan of American football, so I try and watch that as much as I can.
OK, now, John, how about tennis?
A little bit iffy, but we'll give it a go.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Well, I'm going to say Marion Bartoli.
Marion Bartoli. Marion Bartoli. Let's see if that's right. Let's see how many people said it. It is right. What a great start to the show, John. That's wonderful. Marion Bartoli.
Yeah, she lost the 2007 Wimbledon final, Marion Bartoli, and of course won it in 2013. Very popular winner.
Thanks very much indeed, Richard. Now, welcome, Sue. Good to have you here on Pointless. What do you do, Sue?
I'm a parent and toddler group leader.
That's fun. How long have you done that for?
Probably for about the last 20 years.
Well, have you had any parents who were once toddlers in your group?
Not yet.
You haven't yet? Oh, it's probably not far off happening, though. You never know. And what do you do when you're not doing that?
I like lots of craft things. I like sewing, knitting, crochet. Obviously, doing the parent-toddler group, I do lots of children's craft things.
Lovely.
As well.
What's the most ambitious thing you've ever knitted?
Probably a teddy bear.
Excellent.
I don't knit jumpers and things, no.
That's just as well. I mean, let's knit it for yourself. I mean, no one who ever was given a knitted jumper who didn't ask for it.
I did actually knit one for Andy once, I seem to remember.
Did he ask? Was he asking for it?
He definitely asked for it.
Sue, what are you going to go for?
Oh, tennis, I must say, is not a good point for me. Sport is probably one of my worst things. I'll try Venus Williams and hope she lost one.
OK, Venus Williams. Let's see if that's right. Let's see how many of our 100 people said it. It's right. Very well done. 31. Not bad. 31.
Yeah, she's lost 6 Grand Slam finals, actually, in this century, although she's also won many as well. In fact, beat Bartoli in 2007.
Thanks, Rich. Steph, welcome back. Remind us what you do.
I'm a school-based data technician.
A data technician, yes. School-based?
Yes.
Your hobbies, outside of that?
I like socialising, I like watching films, reading, and I do some martial arts at a gym that I've recently joined.
What kind of martial arts do you do?
It's cross-training, it's a bit of everything. So right. It could be boxing one night, it could be kickboxing the next night, could be just a bit of a mix-up, but it keeps you fit and it's good for stress relief.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. I bet. All that data processing.
Yeah.
Oh. So, Steph, tennis. Okay. How are we feeling about tennis?
I've got one in mind. I think this guy was the runner-up in an American Open, and I'm going to go for Greg Rudetsky.
Greg Rudetsky?
Yeah.
OK, let's see if that's right. And if it is, let's see how many of our 100 people said it. Greg Rudetsky. 30. Oh, bad luck. I'm afraid that's an incorrect answer. Steph, scoring you the maximum of 100 points. Sorry.
Yeah, it might not have taken it anyway because the name was pronounced wrong, but it was 1997 he lost in the US Open final. But, I mean, a good memory, but so long ago that you moved some of the letters around in his name.
Thank you very much indeed, Richard. Michael.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, very unlucky departure. Round one.
Yeah.
Oh, well, never mind. Well, listen, Michael, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
I mean, listen, we'll see a lot more of you, I'm sure, today. Remind us what you do.
I'm a comedy promoter.
Exactly right. Well, how many tours have you got on at the moment?
Got one coming up that I'm very excited about, an American act who, I don't know if I'm allowed to say the name, but they're coming over, and a couple of British guys doing just UK tours. So.
And do you do sort of TV bookings and things like that as well?
No,
for them?
I'm not there yet.
Not there yet?
I've only been doing it a few years.
Give it a couple of years.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. Now, well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
What are you going to go for?
Well, obviously, I'm a little bit wary of this first round after our exit last time. But I think, given the position we're in, I'm going to go with Andy Roddick.
Andy Roddick, says Michael. Andy Roddick, let's see if it's right. Let's see how many people said Andy Roddick. It's right. Well, 31, our highest score for correct answer. You passed that. Three! You join our low scorers over here on podium one. Very well done. Looking good for podium four at this stage.
Yeah, lost 3 Wimbledon finals, Andy Roddick, and a US Open final as well.
Thanks very much indeed. Well, we're halfway through the round. Let's take a look at those scores as they stand. 3, the best score of that pass. John, Michael, very well done indeed. Rebecca and Owen can heave a sigh of relief, I would say. Then up to 31, where we find Andy and Sue. Not bad at all. Then, I'm sorry, Steph and Graham, up to 100. That's where we find you. So, Graham, anything could happen. What we really need from you is a lovely, lovely low score. And maybe it might work out and we might see you in round 2. We're going to come back down the line now. Can the second players please step up to the podium? OK, so remember, we are looking for any male or female tennis player who's lost a Grand Slam singles final since 2000. Owen, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Now, remind us about yourself, Owen.
I work in an office in a large maternity hospital in Manchester.
That's right. What are your interests outside dispatching?
I think of them like a massive film nerd sometimes. Music, but not reggae music, apparently. drinking. I like a good pub quiz every now and then. It's a good thing that Mike runs one every week.
Fantastic. OK, now, there you are. You're on 3. If you can score 96 or less, you are automatically through to the next round.
That's my greatest subject, but I think if I play it fairly safe, I'll go for Tim Henman.
Tim Henman,
yeah.
Says Owen. All you have to do is get below that red line. Let's see if Tim Henman's right. Let's see how many people said it. Ooh. bad luck, Owen. I'm afraid that's an incorrect answer. Scores you the maximum of 100 points. 103, your total, but all is not lost, I would say.
Yeah, played the officer safe there, I'm afraid. Never made it to a Grand Slam final.
Right. That's how much I know about tennis.
thanks very much. Now, Graham. Graham, if you can score two or less, it will be heroic. Two or less. Remind us what you do, Graham.
I'm a data manager. I'm working in schools.
What else? What do you get up to up there in Hartlepool?
I'm also a singer-songwriter and a guitarist.
Have you been doing that forever and ever?
Since I was 13, my first gig was when I was 13.
What's been your closest brush with success?
Yes, I thought you might bring this one up. I was working in a band several years ago in the 90s, and a promoter rang me to say, "We've got a band coming up from Manchester. Would you like to come and support them?" And we already had a gig, so we had to say no. And then when we found out it was Oasis, I was actually kicking myself after that. And a couple of weeks later, they released their first single and brush with fame.
It'll come back. Maybe it'll come back. Mm-hmm. Anyway, listen, there you are. You're on 100. What we need from you is a score of two or less.
Sport is not my strong point, and tennis is even further down the list on sport, but I will give it a punt. I will say Roger Federer.
Roger Federer says, Graham, there is your red line. Just at the bottom of the column.
Could have been a little higher.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let's see. Can Roger Federer get you down there? It's right. 45. 145 your total. Sorry, Graham.
Sorry, Graham. Valiant effort. Lost seven Grand Slam finals in this century.
Thanks, Richard. Andy, welcome to Pointless. Good to have you here. What do you do, Andy?
I'm managing director of an automotive recycling consultancy.
Whoa. Automotive... So basically car parts?
Yeah, car parts and dismantling.
Do you dismantle and then reuse, or you dismantle and melt down and...
I don't actually do the work. I'm the consultant behind it, but yes, 95.
What would you advise them to do as a consultant?
Lots of things.
What do you do when you're not doing that, Andy?
I love my motorsport. I also love football as well.
OK, who do you support?
Southampton.
Of course, being in Norfolk, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
That makes sense. Well, listen, there you are on 31. You are through to the next round, even if you score 100 points, which is great news. What are you going to go for?
I think I'm going to play a little bit safe. I'm going to go with Andy Murray.
Andy Murray says, Andy, let's see if that's right. No red lines, you're already through. How many people said it? It's right. 59. Nice round total of 90 for you, Andy.
Yeah, five final defeats up to the point we're talking about, although there's also 1-2 as well, which is terrific news.
Which is terrific. Thanks very much. Now, Rebecca. Rebecca, you're also through to the next round, which is great news.
That's a massive relief.
You've come on with your cousin. This is quite rare, cousins coming on.
Well, yeah, it wasn't entirely my idea, I have to say. Jonathan was leading the charge, but he brought me on because he thought that we'd cover different topics, but I don't...
Oh, it's not because he likes you.
I'm not sure I cover any topics. So.
No, I don't like her.
Oh, I see. No, close affinity or anything like that. No, it's sheer tactic.
We see each other just for game shows. That's
OK, well, listen, so far, it's working very, very well, I can tell you.
It's working well for me, yeah.
Rebecca, what do you do?
I'm a strategy consultant.
Oh, that's fun. Do you consult on strategy with the recycling of parts of cars at all?
Often, yeah. We've met before.
Yeah. So what sort of strategies do you work on?
Just looking at any problems that companies might have and how to try and fix them or how to develop their business.
Oh, I see. And what are your hobbies outside
my
of that?
My hobbies? So I live in London. I like to make the most of living in London. So I go to the theatre a lot and out to see things you can do in London. I'm into photography as well. I like to take pictures of London, which just ties it all together, which is quite nice. So
perfect. So London is a kind of hobby as well.
Yeah, London, yeah, it's a bit of a hobby, yeah.
Excellent. Well, as I say, you're already through, so it doesn't matter what you say. But John has set the ball rolling pretty well there with three.
He has. And my very safe answer was Andy Murray. I think we've all lived through his Grand Slam defeats. But instead, I'm going to go for Maria Sharapova.
Maria Sharapova, says Rebecca. No red line, as you're already through, but let's see how many people said Maria Sharapova. It's right. 14. takes your total up to 17, the lowest total by a mile of the round.
Yeah, very well played. She's lost finals in Australia, in Wimbledon and in France as well. There's quite a few pointless answers. I know that lots of people out there know their tennis, so let's take a look at some of them. You could have had, she lost the French Open in 2000, Conchita Martinez. Could have had Fernando González, Juan Carlos Ferrero. He lost the French and the US Open final. Lindsay Davenport, she lost four finals, I think. Marcos Baghdatis, who lost the Australian final. Mark Fidipousis, who lost at Wimbledon and the US Open final. You could have had Pat Rafter, he lost at Wimbledon twice. You could have had Robin Söderling, he lost at the French Open twice. Or Yevgeny Kafelnikov. You also could have had Alex Krejci. You could have had Arnaud Clément. You could have had Dinara Safina, Elena Dementieva. You could have had Guillermo Coria. You could have had Reina Schüttler, Sara Errani, or Vera Zvonareva. All of those are pointless answers. Well done if you said any of those. Now, the top three answers. Some familiar names here. 40 for Rafa Nadal, 45 for Federer, and we've already heard the top. Andy Murray, 59.
Thanks very much indeed, Richard. So at the end of our first round, the pair heading home with a high score of 145. I'm so sorry. It's Graham and Steph. One of our two returning pairs in this game.
The second choice was Lindsay Davenport, and I can't believe I didn't say it.
No, and you could...
That was my second choice.
It'd be a pointless answer.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, never mind. Well, it's been lovely having you on both shows. I'm sorry we have to say goodbye to you so soon, but Graham and Steph, great contestants. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
But for the remaining three pairs, it's now time for round two. So three pairs remain. Sadly, at the end of this round, we'll have to say goodbye to another pair in time for our head-to-head round. Well, John and Rebecca, what a performance. Two very good low scores there. Our overall low scorers by some distance. Andy and Sue, well done. Now, Owen.
I'll try and get one right
this,
next time.
That was the point I was going to make. I haven't yet heard you give an answer in that column. I just want to hear what they sound like together. But anyway, listen, you made it into round two, which is good. Best of luck. Best of luck to all three pairs. Our category for round two today is final resting places. Final resting places. That's nice, isn't it? Can you all decide your pairs? Who's going to go first? Who's going to go second? And whoever's going first, please step up to the podium. OK, and the question concerns famous graves and their locations. Famous graves and their locations. Richard.
Nice, right?
Yeah.
On each pass, we're going to show you the names of six famous people. We need you to tell us in which town or city their grave or final resting place is located. So there's going to be 12 graves to guess at home. Very best of luck. That's nice, isn't it?
That's good.
Make sure the kids are watching. Make sure auntie's coming from the kitchen. We're talking about celebrity graves.
Celebrity graves.
Yeah. Dead celebrities.
What about that? OK, so we are looking for the name of the town in which the graves of these famous people are to be found. Here's our first board of six. Christopher Wren, Jane Austen, Jim Morrison, John Keats, James Joyce, Elvis Presley. OK, I'll read those all again. Christopher Wren, Jane Austen, Jim Morrison, John Keats, James Joyce, Elvis Presley. They are each 6 feet under which famous town? John.
Yeah, great. This is tough and morbid, so...
My favourite combination.
Absolutely. I mean, I could have a risk, but then we've seen what happens when you take a risk and you get the big red cross. I know, unfortunately, I know the county of one of them, but not the town. So I'm going to have to play it safe and go with Christopher Wren and hope he was buried in London.
London, says John for Christopher Wren. Let's see if that's right. And if it is, let's see how many of our 100 people said London. It's right. Twenty-eight for Sir Christopher Wren.
Yeah, well played. Buried in the crypt of St Paul's Cathedral. And the epitaph reads, if you seek his monuments, look around you.
Thank you very much indeed. Now, Andy, what are you going to go for on this board?
I mean, John's just taken one of my answers. I only think I know two of them, and I'm going to have to go with Elvis Presley and it's Memphis.
Memphis, says Andy. Let's see if Memphis is right for Elvis. Let's see how many people said it, if it is. It's absolutely right. Well, 28's our only score so far. Memphis scores 31. Not too far ahead.
Well done, Andy. Yeah, had to move his grave, in fact, to Graceland's because people were tampering with it.
Oh, were they?
Yes, they were a little bit, yeah. Just a bit.
It's tampering.
It's bad, isn't it? Now it's part of the Graceland's tour.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't it?
Hey!
Hey.
That is nice. Now, Owen, you're the last person to have this board. Do you fancy talking us through it and filling in all the...
I've only got one that I'm pretty sure about. I think Jim Morrison spent his last few years and died in Paris.
Okay. Buried. So Paris is what you're going to go for. Let's see if that's right. Let's see how many people said Paris for Jim Morrison. It's absolutely right. Well, 31's our high score, 28 our low at this point. You pass the high, you pass the low. Look at that, 17. Very well done, Owen. You've broken your duck. 17's your score.
Yeah, well played, Owen. Buried in Père Lachaise Cemetery in Paris. John, you were going to go for... you knew a county for one other.
I think Jane Austen's in Hampshire.
She is, yeah. She's actually in Winchester. And that would have scored you 10 points. John Keats is Rome. That would have scored you 5. And what would you have gone for James Joyce?
Well... Dublin?
If you were forced, you'd have to go for Dublin, wouldn't you? It's not Dublin, and therefore it's a pointless answer. It's actually Zurich. Very well done if you said that at home.
Wow. Of course, no tax. thanks very much indeed. So, we're halfway through the round. Let's take a look at the score. 17, the best score of that pass. Very well done, Owen. Then up to 28, where we find John and Rebecca, 31, Andy and Sue. But who knows what will happen in the next pass. Best of luck. We're going to come back down the line now. Can the second players please step up to the podium? OK, we're going to put 6 more people up on the board, and here they are. We've got Martin Luther King, Karl Marx, Oscar Wilde, Vladimir Lenin, David Hume and Eva Peron. I'll read those one last time. Martin Luther King, Karl Marx, Oscar Wilde, Vladimir Lenin, David Hume and Eva Peron. Now, remember, we're looking for the name of the town or city in which the graves of these people are located. And, Michael, you're going to try and find the one you think the fewest of our 100 people knew.
Yes, I was quite confident on the first board. I had 3 or 4 of those. Not so now. I think I'm going to go for Eva Peron and Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires, says Michael. Buenos Aires. Well, the high scorers are Sue and Andy on 31. You're on 17. 13 or less guarantees you a place in the head-to-head. There's your red line. Let's see if you can get below that with Buenos Aires. Very well done. You're not quite below the red line, but I think that's good enough. 14 takes your total up to 31. You're now tied with Sue and Andy.
Yeah, it's a very good answer, Michael. Very well played. You'd have felt hard done by if she had been born in, if she'd been buried in Coventry or something, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires. Now, Sue. Sue, you're currently tied. How do you find that board?
Terrible. It's a bit of a dead loss, actually.
That's good.
I think my only hope at getting a right answer could be Vladimir Lenin in Moscow.
Moscow, why not? Let's see. Moscow, no red line is your joint high scorers. But let's see if that's right. Moscow for Lenin. Of course it is. So 58 is your total.
And of course, for many years, he'd been laying on a glass coffin in a mausoleum on Red Square. That's another great tourist attraction, isn't it?
Yeah. Thank you very much indeed. Now, Rebecca, we come to you.
I'm beginning to wish I went first.
Well...
It's not looking great.
Well, you have to score 29 or less to remain in the game.
I think we might be going.
You think you might be going? Well, listen, yes. Talk us through the board and do some thinking out loud.
Yeah, I've not got much of an idea about any of them. I'm going to go for Martin Luther King. And I'm going to go New York, but I'm pretty sure it's wrong, so...
OK, you're going to say New York for Martin Luther King. There's your red line. If you get below that... you're in the head-to-head. Let's see if it's right, and then let's see how far down the board it goes. Sorry, Rebecca, not New York, I'm afraid. An incorrect answer, scoring you 100.6, your total up to 128. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry, he's buried where he was born and raised, and that's Atlanta, I'm afraid. We'll have scored you 1 point. Terrific answer. Karl Marx is buried in
London.
Highgate Cemetery in London, of course. Scored you 41. Oscar Wilde.
Also Père Lachaise.
Yeah, also buried where Jim Morrison's buried in Paris. 8 points. And David Hume.
Oh.
Edinburgh. Edinburgh. Well done if you said that. 6 points. So Atlanta, the best answer on that board.
Thank you very much indeed. OK, well, at the end of our second round, I'm afraid the pair heading home with their high score of 128 is Rebecca and John. So good in the first round. And then you were so thrown by that board. Did you not know Karl Marx?
I should have done. I really should have done. Yeah, that's... I should have paid more attention.
It wouldn't have been enough anyway, though.
That's true.
Well, there we are.
Either way. Soften the blow.
Fair enough. Well, quite right. Well, listen, we'll see you again next time. Look forward to that very much indeed. But meantime, thanks very much indeed, Rebecca and John. Thank you. Right, for the remaining two pairs, it's now time for our head-to-head. Congratulations, Owen and Michael, Andy and Sue. You're now one step closer to the final and a chance to play for our jackpot, which currently stands at £1,000. Now, this is the point where we decide who goes through to the final and plays for that jackpot, and we do that by making you go head-to-head. The difference is you can now play as teams and confer before you give your answers. The first pair to win two questions will be playing for that jackpot. Well, Owen and Michael. Owen, apart from anything else, that sounded good, didn't it, that column?
Oh, right.
Yeah, it was good. Michael good still start. Scored less than you, but we won't. Let's not dwell on that. Yeah. But no, very, very well done. Round one last time, through to the head-to-head, as our lowest scoring pair as well. Andy and Sue, very well done. Your first appearance on Pointless, already in the head-to-head. Good achievement. Best of luck to both pairs. Let's play the head-to-head. OK, here comes your first question, and it concerns shops in films. Shops in films, Richard.
Yep, we've had celebrities and graves, now we've got shops in films. We're going to show you five shops and films now. We just need you to tell us what film the shop is from.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that?
OK, let's reveal our five shops in films, and here they come. We have got A. B. C, D, and E. OK, there we are. Five shops in films. Owen and Michael, you've been our lowest scorer so far, so you will go first.
OK. Maybe I could answer if I do. Yeah, because the I think A is Notting Hill.
We'd like to go for D, and we believe that is High Fidelity.
D, High Fidelity, say Owen and Michael, High Fidelity. Now then, Andy and Sue, the board is all yours. Talk us through it.
Wish we could.
Not easy. I don't know any more than one. Go for it, yeah.
We think C is Are You Being Served?
OK, C, Are You Being Served? So we have High Fidelity and we have Are You Being Served. Owen and Michael said High Fidelity. Let's see if that is right for D. And if it is, let's see how many people said it. It's right. Very well done indeed. Six for High Fidelity. Good score. Andy and Sue, meanwhile, have said, Are You Being Served for C? Let's see if that's right. And if it is, let's see how many people said that. It's right. 38. Very well done, Owen and Michael. After one question, you are up 1-0.
Yes, well played, gents. That is it. That's from the 1977 Are You Being Served film, that one, where they go on holiday to the Costa Plonka. Yeah, it was the 70s. It was the 70s. Now, A is... You know that one?
Notting Hill.
Notting Hill, yeah. Scored 13. B is... Well, that's Meg Ryan, and it's You Got Mail. Scored 8.
She looks a bit like John Bon Jovi there, doesn't she?
Yeah, as much as she ever does, yeah. And the last one is the wonderful Funny Face. Scored you 3 points.
Thank you very much indeed, Richard. OK, here comes your second question. Andy and Sue, you get to answer it first, but you have to win it to stay in the game, so best of luck. It concerns Literary maths. Literary maths, Richard.
Yeah, we're going to show you five pairs of book titles now, but we've missed out a number from each of those book titles. You just need to add them together and give us an answer.
Oh, that's brilliant. That is brilliant. OK, let's reveal our five literary maths questions, and here they come. J.R.R. Tolkien's The Blank Towers and Ken Casey's Blank Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Kurt Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse Blank plus George Orwell's Blank. Dodie Smith's Blank Dalmatians and Charles Dickens' A Tale of Blank Cities. Alexander McCall Smith's The Number Blank Ladies Detective Agency and David Nichols' Blank Day. And Jerome K. Jerome's Blank Men in a Boat plus Arthur C. Clarke's Blank, A Space Odyssey. I'm going to read through all of those again and try not to give out the answers. J.R.R. Tolkien's The Blank Towers plus Ken Casey's Blank Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Kurt Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse Blank plus George Orwell's Blank. Dodie Smith's Blank Dalmatians and Charles Dickens' A Tale of Blank Cities. Alexander McCall Smith's The Number Blank Ladies Detective Agency and David Nichols' Blank Day. Jerome K. Jerome's Blank Men in a Boat and Arthur C. Clarke's Blank, A Space Odyssey. There we are, done it. Andy and Sue, you will go first.
Go for the bottom one. Yeah. Go for the bottom one, which is Jerome K. Jerome's Three Men in a Boat and Arthur C. Clarke's 2001 A Space Odyssey, so add them together, that's 2004.
2004, say Andy and Sue, 2004. Now, Owen and Michael. Do you want to talk us through some of the other sums?
I think I might know the second one from the bottom, but we're not going to go for it because it's too risky. Is it the number one and then one day?
So two.
Two. Then it'd be two towers and one flew over the cuckoo's nest, so three. 101 Dalmatians and a tale of two cities.
So three.
And we're going to go for the second one, which is Slaughterhouse 5, 1984. So it'd be 1,000...
1989.
Yeah, yeah.
1989. Okay, that's the one you're going to go for.
Yeah.
1989. So we have 2004 plus 1989. Andy and Sue said 2004. Let's see if that's right. Let's see how many people said it. For Andy and Sue. Now, Owen and Michael have said 1989, 1989. Let's see if that's right. Let's see how many people said that. It's right. 34 is what you have to beat, and you've done it. Very well done indeed. Look at that. Down to 12. Good answer. Very well done, Owen and Michael. After only two questions, you are straight through to the final 2-0.
Yeah, it took us through all the answers perfectly and chose the best answer on the board as well. So very well played, guys. You're right about the top one, two towers and one flew over the cuckoo's nest. It's three and it would have scored you 55 points. 101 Dalmatians, two cities, 103. And that would have scored you 64. And you're right about the last one. They're both one. Number one, Ladies Detective Agency and one day. Two is the answer to that and 17 points scored.
Thanks very much indeed, Richard. So the pair leaving us at the end of the head-to-head round, I'm afraid. Andy and Sue, it's you. Nothing wrong with your answers at all in the round. Just you were beaten in each case by Owen and Michael. But anyway, good news is we get to see you again next time. So we'll look forward to that very much indeed. But meantime, thanks very much for playing, Andy and Sue. But for Owen and Michael, it's now time for our pointless final. Congratulations, Owen and Michael. You've seen off all the competition and you have won our coveted pointless trophy. You now have a chance to win our pointless jackpot, and at the end of today's show, the jackpot stands at £1,000. Wow, what a change. What a difference a day makes.
Feast or famine.
My, absolutely. Well, you've filled your boots today. Fantastic. It was round one last time, this time... Right through, and yeah, you didn't muck about in the head-to-head either. 2-0. Straight through, very good. Owen, I'm going to be honest, I think Michael did quite a lot of the heavy lifting.
You could say that.
But...
very strong.
Yeah.
But I have every faith that this is the round where you come into your own, Owen.
I'll give it my best.
I'm ready to be dazzled. Anything you particularly like to see come up, Owen? What would be your...
Films, music, definitely those two. TV.
Okay. Michael, how about you?
Films, music, TV.
Comedy?
Yeah, that'd be quite niche, but that'd if quite, you've well, got something you can pull
happens.
Out, that'd be great.
Sometimes happens. Anyway, you know what these rounds are like. They are quite niche, these last rounds. You get to choose your category, which is nice, but from the four that we put up on the board, which is less nice. But let's hope there's something up there that you like. Here we are. We have TV finalists, modern female novelists, science and maths, Hong Kong and China.
Mm. What do you reckon?
Science and maths is a complete no-no.
Hong Kong and China, maybe?
Sometimes we think going for the countries is good.
There might be a Hong Kong film on in there.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go, shall we?
Do you know much about Hong Kong, though? Your geography?
No. but does it, you know, do 100 people? Well, Hong Kong and China.
Hong Kong and China.
Hong Kong and China.
Yeah. You're going to go for Hong Kong and China? Good luck.
I was going to say, sometimes one is taken by surprise by people's choice of category. All I was looking at was TV finalists there, because that's the sort of thing people always go for. But well done you for going for one that sounds slightly hard. It might not be. Because we've got three very different questions here. We're looking for any feature film made for cinema release for which Jet Li has received an acting credit up to April 2014. We are looking for any of the provinces of China, according to the CIA World Factbook, so any Chinese province. Or we are looking for any post-war governor of Hong Kong, so from 1945 through to 1997. So Jet Li films, Chinese provinces and Hong Kong governors. Very best of luck.
Thank you very much indeed. Now, as always, you've got up to 1 minute to come up with three answers, and all you need to win that jackpot is to find just one pointless answer. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's go.
OK, let's put 60 seconds on the clock. There they are, your time starts now.
OK, the second two, have you got anything for those?
Well, I've got, like, Chris Patton, but he's finishing 97.
That'd be the biggest one, yeah.
I've got a few lofty names in my head, but nothing that'll...
Any provinces, or are we just doing Jet Li?
I've got some sort of names that I wouldn't be confident in saying.
OK.
But should we go Jet Li?
Jet Li. So the one, Lethal Weapon 4, there's a lot of Hong Kong ones. It's like Fist of Legend.
OK.
Once Upon a Time in China, and I think there was a part two. Probably best to go for the part two.
Okay, so is that three already?
That's three.
Okay.
If you can think of any provinces, you want to chuck one of those in? Or yeah, do you think we should just go straight
Yeah, it might embarrass me if I try and name something.
Yeah,
like
welcome
that.
To my world.
So.
Should we just go the three films?
Well, let's get them organised, we've got a bit of time. Lethal Weapon 4.
The One. We go Once Upon a Time, China 2.
10 seconds
left. Once Upon a China 2.
Once Upon a Time in China 2.
Okay, you get 5 seconds anymore.
Just go for it.
Okay.
Yeah. Owen, what about you? Look at that. Look at that. You,
it appears to be all on me now.
You are Dr. Pointless there. That was brilliant.
I was saving it up.
Whoa, were you ever?
Secret weapon.
Oh, the cork came out and we suddenly had it all. That was we'll something see. Else. Yeah. Well, listen, they sounded great. What are your three answers going to be?
Okay, we'll go for the one.
The One.
Lethal Weapon 4.
Lethal Weapon 4.
And Once Upon a Time in China 2.
And Once Upon a Time in China 2. And these are all from which category?
The film starring Jet Li.
Jet Li. So of those three, which is your best shot at a pointless answer?
Probably Once Upon a China 2.
Once Upon a Time in China 2. Uh-huh. We'll put that last. Least likely to be pointless?
The One.
OK, let's pop those up on the board in that order then. And here they are. We've got The One, we've got Lethal Weapon 4, and we've got Once Upon a Time in China 2. Well, very, very best of luck. Your first answer was The One. This is one you thought was probably the least likely to be pointless. Only one of these answers has to be pointless for you to win that jackpot. 1,000 quid, it's our sort of starter pack jackpot, yeah. But it's you know, it's nice to take home. Mm-hmm. What would you do with your share of that, Owen?
My sister's moving to LA in a few months, so I'd probably go pay for a flight, go and visit her.
Very nice. Michael?
The sensible answer would be to invest it in the business wisely, but probably just go with him.
Yeah. Okay, well, in this case, we were looking for Jet Li films. In fact, in all these cases, we're looking for Jet Li films. Your answer was The One for the first answer. Let's find out if it's right. Then let's find out if it's pointless. If it's both of those things, you will win £1,000. How many people said The One? Well, it's right. If The One takes us all the way down to zero, as I say, you leave here with £1,000. Down it goes, through the 20s, into the teens, into single figures, still going down. Down it goes, still going to two. Oh, good answer, Owen. Wow. So two for the one.
I thought it was going to be one.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, not a pointless answer, but a brilliant answer nonetheless, which means only two more shots at today's jackpot. Your next answer was Lethal Weapon 4. Again, this has to be correct, then it has to be pointless for you to win the jackpot for £1,000. Let's see how many people said Lethal Weapon 4. Well, that is also correct. The one took us all the way down to two. Lethal Weapon 4 now taking us down through the 20s, down through the teens, into single figures, still going down, down it goes, down it goes, past the two. You've done it! You have done it! I wasn't kidding, Owen. Your time has come.
That's brilliant.
Very, very well done indeed. Superb. Well, congratulations. Yeah, well, I wasn't kidding. Owen, your time really did come. Lethal Weapon 4 was a pointless answer, so you go home with our jackpot of £1,000. Very, very well done indeed.
Congratulations, it's been a pleasure watching your journey, actually. On the previous show, you got knocked out in the first round. You're really, really unlucky. This show, Owen started slowly, Michael carried you, and then you get through to the final round. Take a risk on a category which lots of people don't do, but you did, found something that was perfect for you, and Owen, you won the money as well. So great team, great work, well played. Now let's take a look at answers in all the different categories. Jet Li's all sorts of answers. You went for Once Upon a Time in China 2. You could have had Once Upon a Time in China, the original, was also a pointless answer, and Once Upon a Time in China 3, also pointless, and Once Upon a Time in China and America was a pointless answer. Lots of pointless answers there. Lots of films to catch up on, because I haven't seen any of them. Don't tell me what happens. Dragonfight, The Sorcerer and the White Snake, about a sorcerer and a white snake. The Enforcer, that's about an enforcer. And The Forbidden Kingdom, which is about a kingdom that is forbidden. That's a spoiler. Just about a kingdom. Just about a kingdom. Provinces of China, Gansu, you could have had Jiangsu, Jilin, you could have had Shandong, there's a few others as well. You could have had Fujian, Guizhou, you could have had Jiangxi. Quite a few pointless answers there. Well done if you said any of those. And the governors of Hong Kong. I can't believe, guys, you didn't go for Sir Alexander Grantham. So you would have done if you'd another 15 seconds or so. Sir David Trench, Sir David Wilson, Sir Robert Brown Black. So it's a coincidence, they're all called Sir.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Lots of pointless answers on that one. Chris Patton, not pointless. But very, very well played, guys. Exemplary pointless performance.
Thanks very much indeed, Richard. Well, thanks once again to our winning players, Owen and Michael, who go away with today's jackpot of £1,000. Very well done. Join us next time when we'll be putting more obscure knowledge to the test on Pointless. Meanwhile, it's goodbye from Richard.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. Goodbye.